Welcome to FemLead, the podcast on female leadership and role models. This show aims to inspire and equip you with the tools you need to navigate your career plans. FemLead brings inspiring career perspectives and strategies to guide your path to success. Your host, Alexandra, will interview role models on new exciting topics with each episode. If you like what you hear, give us a review and subscribe to the show on your preferred streaming platform. Enjoy.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm taking this space to share some news from our community to all of you based in Copenhagen, Denmark. If you are based in Copenhagen, hear me out. FemLead Podcast is super, super thrilled and honored to host a new in-person event in Copenhagen on June 6th, starting 8 a.m., so a morning session, on networking and women in consulting. We have the pleasure of collaborating with Boston Consulting Group, and together we will be taking you through the exciting space of management consulting. We aim to have a morning event during which you will have the opportunity to hear from a BCG leader who will share their personal experience working in management consulting. You will gain a unique perspective on the challenges and opportunities that come with navigating this thrilling field and learn valuable tips to help you excel in your career. This is an event open to anyone, whether you're looking to break into the industry, seeking to enhance your skills, or you are a senior leader looking for a new perspective. We really welcome you to join us for this fruitful discussion. So some details, the event will take place on June 6th from 8 a.m. To 10 a.m. and we'll be providing breakfast to get your day off to a great start. The agenda includes a 30-minute speaker session followed by a 30-minute Q&A session where you can ask all your questions and discuss any sort of topics that you wanted with a leader in management consulting, and then a one-hour networking opportunity to connect with other women in the industry. This is a really incredible opportunity. We're very grateful and really excited to be collaborating with BCG, Boston Consulting Group, and you will be gaining some very valuable insights into the line of management consultant and really connect with like-minded women in the industry. So if you have any questions or curiosity about the industry, we really welcome you to this event. You need to RSVP. So RSVP now through our link in bio or go to our website to secure your spot, and let's delve into the world of management consulting together. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I hope to see you in person soon if you're based in Copenhagen. And now enjoy the podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to FemLead Podcast. We have an amazing speaker today. So let's deep dive into it. My next guest is an expert in analyzing, advising, and developing solutions for tech companies. She provides investors with investment products advice and planning, working in depth on formulating clients' investment strategies, helping them fulfill their needs and reach their financial goals. Ezra Talu is our guest today. And on top of being an amazing businesswoman, she's also a writer, keynote speaker, and the founding partner and former CEO of the first e-commerce company in Turkey called Depo between 1999 and 2014. Depo shortly became one of the leading e-commerce companies in Turkey. Since 2014, she has provided advisory services to corporate firms, individual investors, institutions, and global funds on startups and early-stage investment issues. Between 2017 and 2019, she worked as a chapter president of Keiretsu Forum Turkey, the world's most preeminent angel investor network, headquartered in San Francisco. She is the founder and CEO of Go Global since 2019. Go Global is a Miami-based next-generation tech ecosystem advisory company with local strategic partners in the US, UK, Israel, Turkey, and UAE. Go Global focuses sustainable, impact-driven growth, scale, and expansion of innovative startups. She's also a part-time lecturer at Istanbul Bilgi University in the LITE graduate program that focuses on learning, technology, innovation, entrepreneurship, and a board member in many organizations, including ARIA Women Investment Platform and leading companies in the US, Europe, and MENA region. Wow, this is really an amazing introduction, and I cannot wait for you to meet Ezra. So without further ado, let's welcome today at FemLead Podcast, Ezra Talu. Hi, Ezra. Welcome to FemLead Podcast. It's really a pleasure to have you here. How are you today?
Thank you, Alexandra. I'm perfectly well. Very energetic. It's spring and I'm very happy.
I'm super happy to have you here. You have a very infectious, positive energy. So we are starting the day very, very well. I'm very excited to have you here. You have so many hats. You're wearing a lot of hats and you've also had a very interesting career progression. But I would like to welcome you, Ezra, to tell us more about your current career setup. So what is the most exciting thing about your career right now?
Well, what I can say, I have 30 years of experience in the startup ecosystems. And today I have the luxury to give it back, if you want, to the society, to young entrepreneurs, to women, to everyone who want to start a career in this ecosystem. So it gives me immense pleasure to work with them, first of all. And I see this as a luxury. You know, I don't do it with the obligation of making money, you know. Nowadays, I'm more flexible. I feel more, you know, engaged with young people. So, yeah, I call it technology, innovation, and entrepreneurship. They are my passion, you know. It was always my passion. But right now, I'm taking more time to share it with other people. So this excites me a lot. This is what I do with Go Global, basically, reaching out to innovative businesses, visionary entrepreneurs. And what's exciting, they're all around the world. I travel a lot. This is very exciting also. I get to know a lot of different cultures and people from, you know, with different backgrounds and all. So these are all very exciting for an entrepreneur, because first of all, I always call myself an entrepreneur rather than an advisor or a lecturer or, you know, I'm an entrepreneur and I'm a mom. And I love being a mother. And it taught me a lot, raising two kids. And yeah, this is what I do right now.
It's really fantastic because you really are what I would describe a networker. You really connect the dots. And I've also had the pleasure to be introduced to you through a connection of ours. And now we're doing this, and you were very, from the beginning, you were very welcoming in sharing contacts and sharing information. So I think, you know, when you talk about giving back, you really take it literally to, you know, whoever needs a piece of advice or whoever needs an intro, you are right there for them. And that's really fantastic. So Ezra, you're doing a fantastic job. I'm super happy that we get to talk a little bit more about your career. Because when we introduced each other, you mentioned so many cool things. And I was like, wow, how did you build a life where you travel so much, where you, you know, you have a residency in one country, but you also get to live times of the year in other countries. And I was like, okay, how do you do that? And how does that come together? Because I think for a lot of people, when they work for a 9-to-5 job and when they have a career within an organization, it's very hard to have this flexibility of moving places. So it's very interesting to learn more about your story. But we'll go back to that in a second. I want to know, what is Go Global? Tell us more about it. And also, what is the mission behind the organization?
Yeah, the Go Global, we like to call it as a next generation advisory company. For, as I said, startup ecosystems around the world. When I started my first business, it was in the 90s, and I realized that it was really hard at those years to really find someone who could support you with, you know, their knowledge and, you know, they can, there was no one who could guide you. And there was no one with the experience of starting a startup business, neither, especially in this region, because I started my first startup company in Turkey, Istanbul. So it was very, very difficult. And I was the co-founder and general manager of the company for 15 years. And I had many, many challenges. So afterwards, I also worked professionally on investment platforms. And so from every experience, I learned and I saw that there is a need for, as you said, facilitators, for networkers, and for people who can, you know, make your journey easier. So this is how it started. And I realized very early on that it's not just about the entrepreneur. It's also about the corporations
The people who are there, they're also trying to work with startups and, you know, but they are also lost a little bit because they work in this very well structured corporational frameworks. And so they don't know how to deal with startups, really, because startups has different dynamics, which would make them more, you know, successful in that sense to scale. And it's, they scale faster, they grow faster. But also, you know, so I have seen, you know, all of this. And I also see a lot of investors also, they willing to do something good to support the startups and entrepreneurs, but they were also a bit lost, you know. And don't we don't have only one profile of early stage investor, like we call them angel investor, but it's a different profile in every region. In developed countries, they are different. They have different experience. They have different knowledge. They have different background. And in emerging markets, people have a different identity because, you know, they are more willing. In developed countries, they can take maybe they are willing to take risks more. But in emerging markets, you know, people don't have that much wealth and they are scared of, you know, spending. So the question is, which startup is the right one for me? You know, how, and learning the journey also. I always believe that it's a network thing also. It really helps not to be alone, but, you know, doing things, belonging to a community, which is very important. You know what? I'll give you a very funny example. When I was first pregnant, I was 24 years old, and I was so panicked. Every little thing that used to happen to me, I was like making it a big thing. So, you know, I met with this community of other pregnant women, ladies. So I realized that everything was so normal. There was nothing to worry about, you know. So it really helps being belonging to communities. It also encourages you and, you know, taking actions, not as one person, but as a team, all together makes a difference. So with Go Global Advisory, we are trying to do all of it. But, you know, the secret sauce of our success behind, because in less than three years, we reach out to three continents and we are getting bigger and bigger to reaching out to more people. We are active in seven most interesting startup ecosystems. And I believe the secret sauce behind it is having local partners. In every country that we work with, we are working with local colleagues that were already working with, you know, in the ecosystems, in those ecosystems that we are trying to reach. So it creates a great power, Alexandra, to collaborate. And this is my mindset. I always look for collaborations. I try to get the best of other people, their experience, their knowledge, and their ideas. In that sense, I'm very I align easily with, you know, other people's ideas, and, you know, so this is in general what we do. What I like about our work, our Go Global, is that we succeeded to include a lot of stakeholders of the ecosystem, like not just entrepreneurs, but also investors, not just VCs, but also high in net worth individuals, not just corporations, but also institutions, universities, you know, all of these groups, which makes our platform very exciting.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to reaching the platform or utilizing the, you know, the global network you've mentioned and you've built, also the fact that it's embedded into the local ecosystem, like you said, that's very important. How can people apply, or what is the setup of the or of the organization?
Very easy. I mean, from our website, from our social media accounts, or writing to me or to our partners through LinkedIn. We are very open and interactive. So, you know, we are very close to entrepreneurs. You know, we participate to global events. And, you know, yeah, like, you know, with podcasts, YouTube programs and everything. So they can reach out to us very easily. Mm-hmm. And if they check on our website, they will have a general idea of what we do. More, they will have more idea.
Fantastic. I will definitely link all of the different websites because I think it's important for people that are interested in, you know, scaling their setup and also understanding more about how you can be part of a global community that helps startups. It's important to kind of start somewhere. So I will definitely share that as well. I think you have fantastic experience in the ecosystem, especially the, like you said, the startup ecosystem, but generally the investment and, you know, scaling setup of a company, which is really fantastic. So I want to ask you about your story and kind of your lessons looking back, because you know, building now global and having a lot of experience from other setups as well, it's something that came in time and it's something that you've said you spent 13 years building up. But what did you learn in your career progression? So what matters in your career development looking back?
Well, what matters, it's, of course, it's the baby, very cliche thing, but it's to enjoy the journey. It's to be satisfied. It's to be happy, you know. And at the beginning of my career, maybe I was more focused on convincing other people also that this is the right way to take. And right now, I'm less. I don't really spend my time to convincing other people, but I'm more focused on my satisfaction of what I do. So yeah, I mean, what I learned, I had many challenges. I had many struggles. I cried a lot. This is something seen as a weakness as being a woman in the business, but I no longer see these things as a weakness. So these are normal reactions to every human being when they are really willing to do to succeed on something, and when they are disappointed because there are a lot of problems on the road. So this now it's to me it's normal. Every feeling to me it became normal. So what matters really? It's when you look at back to say, yes, I struggled a lot, I cried a lot, I sacrificed a lot. And maybe I upset some people a lot because I believed I was focused on my goal. Yeah, but at the end of the day, when I receive messages, when I see people in the street, or, you know, when I go out for a coffee meeting with people, when they said, Esra, you changed my view. Like back 10 years ago, and you helped me so much, you encouraged me. And especially young people, when they say, you know, we really enjoy your authenticity, you know, you're sharing your experience, good and bad, and, you know, disappointments, because this is a whole package. Life is not all about successes. It's also about disappointments. And, you know, there are a lot of things going parallel to your professional life in your life. So if at the end of the day, you are happy with all of it, I congratulate myself because I was really looking back. I was really resilient, having two kids and being at your 20s, starting a family in a totally faraway land. We started our family in Los Angeles, which I'm very grateful. But you know, it's not easy. Your mom is not next to your father, is by your brothers, your sister, your family is far away from you, your core family. And that makes you, a mature person, maybe a bit earlier. My brother always jokes about it. He says, since you were born, you were like a mom, you were like a professional, you were like a boss, you know? And I tell him, I mean, this was not my choice at the very beginning, you know? But this is how it happened, and I'm very happy. And now I say, and I was very, you know, fortunate to have all the education I had, because I had a chance to have a really upscale education. I studied in Switzerland. I had a French education. And also I had a chance to travel around the world. To get to know different culture. I speak three languages and Turkish also, which is my, you know, mother language. And yeah, I mean, nothing is easy, Alexandra. And if anyone wants to be an entrepreneur, you have to multiply that, you know, not being easy with 10. Minimum. So yeah, but I enjoy the journey, and right now I can say that I even enjoy more.
Fantastic. Because,
yeah, definitely. I enjoy right now much more.
It's also very interesting that if you think that a situation cannot be better, it doesn't mean you shouldn't try and see what works for you, because of course it might just turn out the way you want and not necessarily, keep you down. So it's a very nice reflection.
Exactly. And, you know, what makes people interesting today, actually, when we hear stories from entrepreneurs, what makes us really, the type of the bond we create with them when they talk about their failures, you know, that makes them more human. Otherwise, they're like superheroes, you know, and this is very important. Some people, you know, in some conversations, it's always the questions go, how did you succeed this? How did you succeed? And I say, no, look, this for every people, first of all, success means a different thing. You know, for some people, it's all about money. For some people, a lot of other things. For me, it was never about money. So this is why, maybe, because, you know, when you leave yourself about being a billionaire, you know, all of these things, you become very free, Alexandra. So this is very important. The only thing that you know puts an entrepreneur that put a lot of pressure on an entrepreneur, it's when you raise money from. It's when you use other people's money. So then you know it's a very difficult process, because you have your commitments to double, triple their money and, you know, to grow the business. As this I did for 15 years. So 15 years was a big learning process in my life. So in 2014, I said, you know, okay, Estra, you proved yourself and you can do this. It's fine. Everybody seen it, you prove the world that you can, you know, raise money and grow a business and scale it and, you know, create work opportunity for other people, especially for other women, because my company was 80% women. And so I'm really proud of it. It was in the 90s. And so, and then afterwards, I said to myself, what are you looking for in real life? Like real, for yourself. And I found out that my happiness is not in making more money. Money, I need it to do things, to go where I want to go. But not, I realized I don't want to work for money. You know, money, I need to have money just to do all the things I want to do for other people, for the planet, for, you know. And I was always like this, you know. I'm a big nature lover, Alexandra, and I always cared about the oceans, the lakes, the birds, the planet. I was always like that for some reason. And now it's my time because everyone else, they also care so much about it.
I was about to say that it sounds like you're describing this idea of a wake-up call to not forget what's important. And it's funny you mentioned the example with not chasing money, but rather using it as a tool. That's exactly what I was talking with the other day with another podcast guest that that will soon be featured as well. How to be fulfilled beyond, you know, the material part. That, you know, it's true that for some people it's really important, especially to be comfortable. So let's not say that money is not a tool that it's important in life, because it is. And it gives you the comfort and it gives you the context to be able to do what you want and not worry too much about, okay, details and, options of what you could do. But at the same time, there's like this probably, I don't know how to call it right now, but there's this break-even setup where once you start being comfortable, then you can also not put all of your energy in seeing money as a goal, but rather as a tool. And when does that happen? How does that happen for you? That's really a personal journey. So there's no, you know, right or wrong. People are comfortable with different levels of financial security, I'm sure. But I think once we have this mindset that it will be okay, so let's not focus on money as the end goal, it really changes the way you interact with everything around you, including, you know, like you said, thinking about the fact that, you know, nature is important, going out in the sun is important, and not staying all day in front of your computer because you need to work 2 more hours to deliver something that could be delivered tomorrow. But hey, we need to do it now because whatever, like it will give us... it's very personal, right? So I think it depends on each person what they choose. And I think based on your experience and also all the cool things you've done, I feel like it's a very nice reflection of how we get drawn into the game and then we forget that we won't remember how many hours extra we worked one day, but we will remember that when we were in this part of our life, we didn't really took any holidays or we didn't really experience anything, right? Like those are the things that we will remember. And how do you balance that? It's a very interesting kind of setup to consider for everybody listening that, you know, if you worry too much about something, kind of look also at what you didn't look lately at and be like, okay, do I want to spend most of my time doing this or do I also want to get out of this bubble that I'm in and experience something else? Because it does change your mind. It changes your mindset. It changes your context. And it kind of makes you be more aware of other things that matter outside what's in front of your computer. So it's a very nice reflection.
And Alexandra, let's not forget that most successful entrepreneurs are the ones who analyze well the problems about humans, about society, about biosphere, about economy, you know. And to do that, you cannot just sit at home, you know. You have to be outside. You have to
very socialize. Good life.
You have to be in a bus to know the problem of the people who are commuting every day to work, you know, what type of problem they are facing. So I always tell this to my students at the universities, just go out and, you know, do things and try to figure out what are the real problems people are facing. So, yeah, and this is a necessity to because we say, let's focus on the problems and to really understand what the problem is. You have to be in the middle of the society and to live with them. You cannot just, you know, and yeah, this is also very important in that sense. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Let's talk about lessons then. So based on all of your experiences, what do you think are the three career lessons that you've learned along the way? What can you leave our listeners with in terms of, you know, big themes for their career?
Yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of them, but, you know, I learned it in a hard way that, you know, not to trust to everyone. You know, I could easily trust, but I learned in life. And you have to choose your partner well. This means in every sense, from your husband, boyfriend, to your professional partners or business partners, because it really makes a difference. So some people are not meant to, you know, be resilient or, you know, they may change their mind in midway. So it's very important that you have the right people around you with the same mindset. And for this, please spend some time with the people that you are going to start a new journey. This is important. And also what I learned, Alexandra, the most important of all, to focus on my journey and not to hear negative voices, not to hear any comments or anything. And I learned that I don't have to prove anything to anyone. You know, my work will show at the end. So it's not about the moment you say, this is not about me, this is bigger than me. And I always say that too, life is much bigger than the money in our pockets. And, you know, so the moment you realize everything you do has an impact, multiplied impact and effect. And so I focused on multiplying this impact, if you want. And I learned to focus on that and not to hear people, because people make, you know, really very unnecessary comments about everything, you know, about everything. Everything you do can become a problem. So I prefer not to hear them. So, you know.
There's also I love
and I feel lucky. Yeah, I feel lucky because at the end of the day, this action made me close to the right people, like you, for example. We made it. And, you know, you click with the right person. The moment you... we had a conversation with you, like in 5 minutes, we were like, we said, oh, I'm so happy that, you know, I get to know you. You said, you know, this is what's happening. So I exclude all the other people that, you know, take my energy down. So when you do that, you definitely find the right people. So this is also very important.
I love that, Ezra. And I think all of the three lessons you've shared are important, but especially the last one, which can also translate for some of our listeners into feedback. When you get feedback or when you get different unsolicited pieces of advice, you should really be aware of whether you should actually be even listening to those sort of engagements, because maybe you just say, okay, thanks, and then you move on, rather than spending too much time on like, but why did they say that? Or I wonder, maybe there's something that I've done that created this impression. You know, you can dwell into all of the details of why people might have had an opinion about you, especially if you didn't ask for it. I think that's also a very important subtle differentiation between when you want to get feedback and when you want to improve on certain areas and you ask. And sometimes you get this sort of unsolicited advice or feedback and you're like, oh, okay, I didn't expect this to be the outcome of our engagement. And that's okay because you don't need to take it as a say. You know, you can just say, thanks very much, I'll move on. And that's super important for people, especially who feel like they need to listen to everybody's opinion about them. You really don't. And you really shouldn't, like you said, trust that everything is shared in a way constructively, right? It's really about kind of balancing all the input that you get and deciding, okay, for now, I'm not going to focus on this, or it's not something that I'm interested in, and simply decide to move on. It's not easy, but it's something that I think in time can really be trained to not put such a big, you know, take a toll on you or anything like that. Yeah, it's a very good reflection, Ezra. I wanna sum up with something that I think everybody's interested to know, especially based on all of your experiences. So is there anything that you would change if you could, knowing what you know now?
I don't think so. I mean, this question that I received it a few times before also, and each time I think afterwards, I say no, because what I believe, Alexandra, everything that, you know, happened to me made me who I am today. So if one part was missing, maybe I wouldn't be that strong. Maybe I wouldn't be that resilient. Maybe I wouldn't be that hopeful, you know, because I learned with sadness, I learned to be hopeful. You know, with disappointment, I learned to, you know, to look for new horizons, you know. So everything, I wouldn't change anything. I mean, in this life, in my lifetime, and this is something I like. I like everything about myself, you know, and I'm not perfect at all. I have many, you know, ups and downs. I'm a standard human being at the end of the day. But, you know, I wouldn't change it. And I'm so grateful to everything that happened to me, to all the people with also the bad intentions who did bad things to me. It was really bad at that time. But, you know, when I look back, I say to myself, I'm glad you had that experience because that made you more, even more powerful, even more, gave you more strength, you know. And this is a mindset of me. I never, you know, I'm invincible, Alexandra, in a way that if you, you know, this is a mindset, you know, If you're not worried what other people think about you, it is a really positive thing on your journey.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Ezra, for taking the time, for sharing the great mission that you're now on, and also for reflecting on your career, because you did brought in so many nuggets of wisdom throughout the interview. And I'm sure that, you know, once we listen to this episode, a lot of people will be like, okay, this sounds really cool, but how do I implement it? And I think it's really a personal decision to change your mindset and kind of focus on yourself. So this is really a key takeaway for me, that you can't be spending your energy divided into what could happen, but rather focus on your goal, focus on yourself, and then eventually you will get to the, you know, your path, you will get to your group of people, you will get to your mission. And this really comes by focusing on the goal that you have and not on anything else. So I'm really happy that you've mentioned that. I want to go to sum up to the final five fire questions. And I want to start by asking you, what is one book that you think everyone should read?
Yeah, I have this book here. I will show you. It's not very romantic or something, you know, a love story, which I really love to read. But this is for anyone. I believe history has a lot of to teach us. A business person who does not know anything about history cannot be successful, because especially if you want to be global, you have to understand different nations, different cultures, and the historical, you know, events. Why this person is acting like this? Why the other person is, you know, what? Especially in the business I do, for example, if I'm going to bring an investor to a startup, I really have to know if it's the two different nations, their story. And, you know, for me, it's important. And I studied political science, etc. So it's, I really like it. This book, Why Nations Fail, The Origins of Power, Prosperity and Poverty by Darren Acemoğlu, which is a Turkish, very important Turkish economist, and also James Robinson. This book, it's, you know, it's a kind of a book where you don't have to read all at once, but you can go through the chapters and, you know, read, reread, and, you know, try to digest. It's a really good book for any entrepreneur, I believe. Yeah, this one I chose.
It's been featured and it's a very nice one, yes. There we go. Okay, I just waited a minute because there was a siren coming. Okay, Ezra, what is the best piece of advice that you have ever received?
What was the piece of advice that I have ever... I received a lot of advices, like you said, unsolicited, all of this. But I think focusing on myself, on my journey, on what I do and on what I want, it was a great advice. And this came from my father when I was really young. When I was at my 20s, just, you know, I was having my internship and I was coming home in the evening. I was saying, Dad, you know, this other girl, she's paid this much. This other guy is paid this much for the internship. My father said to me, look, stop doing this. It really doesn't matter. What matters is you. You have to, you know, focus on what you do, on your journey, on, you know, and get the best out of this internship. And
absolutely,
don't think what others are doing. So I think this was the best advice I got.
Really great.
In my lifetime.
Really great. Who is your role model then?
And that too, well, I don't have only, you know, I can name a person. I rather prefer to say all the good-hearted and kind people are my role models, Alexandra, because I believe kindness and good, being good-hearted, it's very, very amazing. And this is the core of, you know, of life. If we are good to each other, if we are kind to each other, if we can have empathy for each other. And this is something that I really, really I would embrace. And I really like to be a very kind and good person. And I try that. You know, I try not to get angry, not to, you know, be have prejudgments for other people. So I really try that. And all the people who I see are doing this and as a character have this are my role models.
Really great. Yeah. Thank you for that, Ezra. What would you choose to do if you were to have another career?
That is, you know, 100% sure. I know I would love to be a very popular performer, like singer, like, you know,
I love it.
Yeah, that's, you know, if I had the skills and the talent, I would definitely do that as a profession, because I admire the power of one person bringing millions of people, you know, together. And this is such a big trend. I mean, this is such a great satisfaction. How better it can be, you know? I mean, this is, hopefully, if God hears me, maybe in my next life, you know, this can happen. I believe that artists, I have a great respect to artists and athletes. By the way, Alexandra, all the things that I cannot do, you know, I'm not a big fan of business people in that sense, because maybe I'm one of them too. But I have a great, great respect and admiration for artists and athletes.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Ezra. And the last question is, if you could change places with someone, who would it be and why?
Change places? Yeah, that question would be about me and my beautiful country, my mother, you know, land. It would be about Turkey, now we call it, by the way. I would love to be a prime minister to my country, because I believe that I could add a lot of value. I could be the voice of many people. And women, I believe, has to add and bring a lot to the table. Mm-hmm. And I believe future is female. And, you know, I would love to do that. I mean, yeah, definitely.
Fantastic. The future is female. Thank you so much, Ezra. This was a great chat. I'm really excited that we got to meet. I hope that I'll meet you soon in person. You like radiate the positivity, and I really appreciate the fact that you are so vocal about giving back and wanting to be part of different communities, because it means a lot to a lot of young women and also a lot of people in general that follow you. So thank you so much for doing this. I hope you've enjoyed this interview, and I wish you a fantastic day ahead.
The same, Alexandra. Thank you so much for your community also to welcoming me, hosting me today. Have a lovely week. And everyone, you know, life is getting better and better. Please have faith. Better days are waiting for us if we work all together.
Absolutely.
I believe in it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ezra. And thank you all for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and stay tuned for more interviews with inspiring female role models.
Hope you've enjoyed this episode of FemLead Podcast. Share the news with your friends and follow us on social media at FemLead Podcast everywhere.